This podcast is supported by family history website Find My Past. What was life like for domestic servants, workers and local communities at our most fascinating heritage sites? Uncover the hidden history and buried secrets of people from all walks of life connected with National Trust places and whose stories illuminate our past and present. Discover where they lived and worked and who with in hundreds of census records from National Trust spaces for free. And find out how to explore your family's history. See where the past takes you at findmypast.co.uk/national-trust. Hello and welcome to the National Trust podcast. I'm James Grasby, a senior curator with the National Trust. Today, we're journeying deep into an ancient world at the UK's only known Roman gold mine, Dolly Cothi, in Carmarthenshire, Wales. We'll be uncovering hidden treasures and unearthing the ingenuity of the Roman Empire. Mine bwrw glaw, mine bwrw glaw heddiw. It's a soft, rainy day in beautiful Carmarthenshire, and I'm approaching what I can only describe as the remains of a Roman amphitheatre buried in ancient woodland. What an astonishing space, ground rising on all sides, a flat central area with a shanty town of corrugated iron buildings in the pitter-patter of this soft, pristine Welsh rain. It is a wonderful and enigmatic place. There's the winding shed, the shed windlio, the gwaithdy, the workshop, and the shed dacli, the kitting up shed. Now look, I think that I'm going to find my friend Donna in here.
James, Croeso I Dolly Cothi.
Donna Hiraeth has drawn me back, a sense of longing to be back in Wales. Now look, what gear have you got here? We're inside the dressing shed.
Shed dacli.
Shed dacli. Exactly. And what went on in here?
So this is where we get kitted up with our hard hats and miners' lamps ready to journey underground.
I'm going to get changed now, am I?
You're quite tall and we wouldn't want you banging your head.
Thank you. That's very good.
And then we will also get you kitted up in one of our lamps. So if you could just hold the pack on your side.
Very good.
And then we'll just clip the lamp onto the front of your hard hat. There we go. How does that feel?
It feels absolutely splendid.
Excellent.
Thank you very much indeed. There's a bit of time travel going on here, isn't there? Because in amongst this very modern equipment is stuff that I guess goes back at least 100 years.
And that's mainly evidence of what you'll see in the mine yard today. So shall we leave the shed and go and have a look?
Lead the way.
So we are going to visit a couple of our mines, and you might be forgiven for thinking that to go underground we'd be heading down.
Yes.
But at Dolly Cothi we like to do things slightly differently, So we're going to be heading up the hillside.
That's perverse. Up the hillside.
Up the hillside. Well, the reason is that we're standing at the bottom of an open cast pit, so we've actually got to climb our way out of this open cast pit to find the rest of the mines.
So we're going uphill in order to go down?
Yes.
Right.
Few steps, but it's a nice walk.
What a lovely spot. It's hard to imagine this place being the centre of such an important industry.
It's an amazing landscape, isn't it? So today we've got fantastic oak woodland, part of the Celtic rainforest, and so it doesn't really hint at the massive industrial activity that would have gone on here. So we've got a good view then into the valley, and you can just about make out the River Cothi down at the bottom there, and you can also make out a collection of buildings through the trees there. So that's the village of Pimsaint, but it also is the site of a Roman fort. So the Romans would have occupied this area from around 74-75 AD. And the fort would have been down right underneath where the village is today. So the Romans would have been in control of this area, and it's where the military would have been based.
And this was right on the very edge of an enormous Roman Empire.
Yeah, so the Romans, I think, had a shopping list of what they wanted to get from Britain. And a lot of it is our mineral metal wealth. So they would have sent scouts to find out where all these good deposits were, and then brought the military in behind them. It took them an additional 30 years to get into Wales. Wales was so heavily defended, and one of the reasons that we think the Romans wanted to come here is because they knew of the gold deposits here. So it's likely that the local people were already using the gold deposits, maybe making jewellery and trading the gold, and then the Romans would have known that there was gold coming out of here. So, yeah, an extra 30 years to come this far and then apply their mining techniques here.
The Romans clearly had an ability to identify worthwhile resources. The Roman state and the emperor effectively owned all gold mines, all lead silver mines, and some of the iron mines across the empire. So this would have been an imperial estate, more than likely.
It was relatively near the surface, and it's very likely that the gold that they found was free gold, which would be fairly easily processed by methods that took advantage of the fact that gold, relative to most other things, is very heavy.
I'm Barry Burnham.
I'm Helen Burnham.
At the moment, my wife and I, Helen and I, are heritage archaeology rangers. We're the only two in Wales as such.
I met Barry when we were both students. We've been married now for 44 years.
But we've been actively exploring the mines since 1982. We know that the Romans had an auxiliary fort for 500 or perhaps 1,000 soldiers on the north side of the river, about a kilometre away. They brought with them the highest levels of technology that they had. They'd inherited quite a lot of that from the Egyptians and from earlier civilizations. It wasn't as if they started from scratch. They brought in significant amounts of water to work the site, because you can clear debris, you can use it to process the metal that you're trying to get at.
Free gold is the kind of gold that sometimes people are lucky enough to find in other parts of the world, where you can see gold and you can just pick it up. And sometimes there are quite large nuggets, though that's very unusual.
Most of the rest of it was just hard manual labour. The reality of the mine itself is that this is a mechanical mine. It's driven by picks, mining tools, chisels. It's not sophisticated in any sense. It's just hard rock mining. Once the material was actually mined, it would have to have been crushed, turned into a powder, and then washed in such a way that the rubbish was allowed to wash away and the gold would then have been collected. At some point in that process, it would have been combined, presumably, into some sort of bullion, and it would have been taken out of Britain down to the mints, probably in Rome or possibly Lyon, where it would have been turned into coinage.
Donna, we've come round the corner and there is a very much more prominent opening in the hillside. I can see a horizontal tunnel, an adit, going into the hillside.
Yeah, you're quite correct. An adit, so the term adit is a mining term for a horizontal or self-draining tunnel. This was known as Ogof Cawg, which means a bowl or a cauldron. So that kind of conjures the imagination a little bit. But what we have here is we have a fantastic square tunnel driven into the hillside that opens out into a gallery. So,
wow.
You ready to take a look?
It feels like we're entering some ritual space, an amazing temple or something. It's like the entrance into the underworld. Donna, lead the way. The walls are square wrought directly into the bedrock, and an astonishingly flat ceiling. I mean, this is precision quarrying. This is Roman work that we're looking at.
That's as far as we believe to do with the way that it's been engineered and the technology that the Romans had available to them. But if you look up the tunnel, you can see how beautifully square it is. And it's very wide. And in some instances, we might call this over-engineered, because when you're mining out this bedrock, it's waste rock and you're throwing it away. So this tunnel is just too wide, really. All around you here, you can see all the scratches. So these are all the pick marks that have been left behind by the people that mined this out. So if you put your hand on a pick mark there, that was mined out around about 2,000 years ago.
That is quite astonishing. It's time travel.
So you'll notice that we're walking very slightly uphill as well.
Yes, there's a gentle incline, not much of one, but what was the reason for that?
But it's enough to drain the water out of the mine.
Right.
So any water that's flowing into the mine from the surface or coming through the rocks is going to be drained out and through this nice square tunnel.
We've now come to the end of this adit into a sort of transverse excavation, a much higher tunnel, almost a cavern, a cave.
So this gallery is known as a pillar and room working. So we're currently stood in a room. And just here we have a pillar or a column of rock. And you can see either side, we've blocked them up now, but they're almost like doorways.
Yes.
And we think those would have gone through and extended out into another room the other side.
And have you ever found any? I mean, do you see a twinkling bit of gold?
I have found gold and then lost it within about an hour.
No.
Yeah, I was in the mine doing a mine inspection. So for safety, we come and check the mines before any visitors come underground. And there was a small bit of loose rock and I managed to remove it with my hand. And for some reason, I thought, I bet there's gold in this. So I put it in my pocket, and when I got back to the mine yard, I was speaking to my colleagues about it, and I looked in this piece of quartz under a microscope, and there was the smallest piece of gold, and it was absolutely beautiful. I handed it over to my colleague to have a look, and he couldn't find it, and when he passed it back to me, I couldn't find it either. So I'd managed to lose it. But it was just so tiny, but there's a saying that you know gold when you found it, and there was, without question, a speck of gold in there.
Donna, we're now leaving the gallery and heading upwards, up this narrow companionway, back into the daylight from this underworld, this twilight world. Turning my torch off, and we're back in this ancient woodland. What an extraordinary tour.
So we've come out of an underground working, but we're still in a mine.
We're still in a mine. I mean, this is a deep hollow. Again, one of those workings that you were describing on the way in. This is all man-made, is it?
Yeah, so we've got a trench system that runs through here.
When I first met you down in the yard, you talked about the end, really, of mining here in the 1940s. But was there continuous mining going on here from perhaps the Bronze Age period through the Roman period right up to the 1940s?
Yeah, it's one of the intriguing things about Dolly Coffey. So we know that we have very early workings here, but we're not entirely sure as to when the mining stopped. But we do know that the mining did stop and then gold was forgotten about. Now, how can you forget about gold? It's always been so valued. But it might be because a lot of Roman places were known as places of evil. So we have stories of witches and wizards which used to frequent these mines. And the site was then referred to as the Orgovi, which means caves.
After the Romans abandoned the mines, the mining had been abandoned, but the mines themselves weren't. They'd always been remembered as a place of suffering and torment. And so these bad places attracted bad people. An evil wizard had taken up residence in the mine, and he hated good people. One day, five saints were on pilgrimage to St. David's, and as they were travelling past the mines, the skies grew black. As the skies grew dark, the saints looked around. The wind rose up, lightning flashed across the sky. Wind and rain rushed around the ancient pits. The evil wizard knew that they would never reach St. David's. The five saints were determined to press on regardless of what was trying to stop them from reaching their goal. But the evil wizard was cunning and clever. He summoned giant hailstones that threatened to throw the saints off the road. At this, the saints had to pause. They climbed down into the old pit seeking shelter, but all they could find was a great rock. They huddled tightly against the rock, trying to shelter against the hail, the wind, the rain. The lightning flashed and the thunder rolled around them. And the evil wizard cackled. He knew he'd got them. As the sky brightened and the sun returned, the saints had gone. And all that remained was the imprints of their shoulders and heads against the rock.
So if you want to keep your friends and your family safe, you might make up stories to keep them out of these dangerous places. People avoided them, and so the knowledge of gold here was lost. So much so that the Johns family, who were the estate owners, were given the Dolichothy estate by the monarchy. Now, no royal is going to give away a known gold mine, so that does tell us that the story of gold was forgotten about at that point.
So the Romans came and went, and the Dark Ages, as you were describing, commenced, and the mines became almost lost, certainly forgotten, and became part of folklore and myth. And at what point did the search for gold start again? When was that ignited?
So the Johns family owned about 4,000 acres of the countryside around here, running up the Cothi Valley, and they had a large game estate. And they would have invited their friends to enjoy the Dolichothy countryside. And one of those friends was a geologist. And he noticed that these caves, as they were known, were actually mine workings, and wondered what people could have been mining for. He'd noticed the amount of quartz that we had here and managed to find that elusive speck of gold. And so then we have our new phase of gold mining in the Victorian and early Edwardian times.
So Donna, is there evidence of that later working of the mine here?
Yeah, there absolutely is, and we can have a look in those mines.
Oh, good. Lead the way. Donna, what a lovely walk descending through that woodland, and you brought me to another astonishing sight, which is a gaping cavern in a hillside, with enormous oak trees hanging over it. This is a man-made landscape that has become naturalised into an intriguing place. What am I looking at?
Well, you can see why this site was known as Orgorvi, the caves, can't you? Because
yes,
it's got this great big gaping cave-like mouth to it.
And can we go inside?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Gosh, it's dark and damp and drippy in here, isn't it? Donna, what is striking is that this is a very different quality of work to the labour we saw done by the Romans in the earlier adit. This is really quite crude and broken surfaced and irregular.
Yeah, in the Roman mines, you could see that the walls there had almost become dressed. They were very smooth surfaces, whereas here we're blasting our way through the rock. So we're using hand drills to create a hole, and then we're using explosives to blast the way through the rock, which leaves behind these very jagged surfaces. So this is an area where we assume that they found gold, because we've come out of that small narrow tunnel and we're now in a much larger space. So we believe they've been following these veins of quartz off in different directions. So wherever the veins of quartz are going, the miners are following them, removing them, pushing them out through the mines on mine carts. So right through the mines, we would have had like a railway track in which the carts would have run, and those would have been pushed in and out of the mine by people.
Donna, these torches penetrate the darkness amazingly, and you begin to see the colours, these vertical striations of the natural rock in greys and ochres and umbers and sort of rusty colours. But what is quite astonishing, if I look upwards, is an iridescence, a silver sparkle, which looks very improbable and unreal. What is that?
It's a question that our visitors quite often ask us, but amazingly, it's a fungus and a bacteria that live on the surface of the rock there. Its scientific name is Arsenothiobacillus ferrooxidans. So it's a fungus and a bacteria, and it lives in a symbiotic relationship. So they need each other to be able to survive, and it's surviving feeding on the surface of the rocks there. It's incredible because without our torches underground, there is no natural light underground, so it's able to survive in these conditions.
Say the name of the thing again.
Thiobacillus ferrooxidans.
You've been practicing.
It's your password to get out the mine.
Donna, we've reached a dead end. How are we going to get out?
Well, so to get out, we're going to climb our way out of the mine.
Climb our way?
Yes. So if you look right above your head, you can see that patchwork of woodwork.
Yes.
And that forms a handrail. So we've got a few steps leading to a hole cut out into the rock, and then we can climb our way up there. So are you prepared for one more adventure?
Well, you lead the way. Okay. You lead the way, and I'll follow. It looks rather daunting. This is a Lara Croft Tomb Raider moment, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think it's probably best not to look, because it looks worse than it is.
Have you done this before, Don?
Several times.
You sure you know the way?
Absolutely, yeah.
No, look at me.
Well, if you look back down below us...
I don't want to.
That's where we were standing.
I'm beginning to get a glimpse of daylight flooding into the entrance of this mine. Donna, that was absolutely wonderful, memorable. The huge forces of nature and all that labour to dig those tunnels. I could have gone on exploring that all day. We're now heading downhill back towards where we started. Donna, there's more exploring to do.
Yeah, we absolutely still have loads of riddles to solve at Dolaecothi. Right, from the archaeology to the geology, we don't actually fully understand why there's gold here in the first place. It's a bit of a geological anomaly.
And this is a material, gold, that resonates today as something precious and valuable and fundamental to our economies and basic to our ornament and decoration and jewellery. This is something excavated, mined, worked by people for more than 4,000 years in this country, certainly 2,000 years here, from the Roman period and onwards. And it started here. And what would we do without the Romans?
Thank you for listening to this episode of the National Trust Podcast. If you've liked what you've heard, please make sure to subscribe on your favourite podcast app or visit us at nationaltrust.org.uk/podcasts. More information on Dolaecothi and deeper dives into our Roman history can be found in the links in our show notes, along with information of this year's nationwide Festival of Archaeology. Until next time, from me, James Crasby, goodbye. This podcast is supported by family history website Find My Past. Unearth untold stories and secrets of real people who once walked the historical places now under the National Trust's care. Discover how they lived and worked and who with in hundreds of census records for free. And find out how to explore your family history. See where the past takes you at findmypast.co.uk/national-trust.